Hi-Fi Dream, it's the deep dive.
Thank you. With Greg and Willis.
That's Herbert, by the way. The song is called Fantasy. I am in love with this record. It's called Musica. Musica. I'm
yeah. It's great. It's a double album and it's a gatefold LP. You open it up like a book.
Nice artwork, clean.
Yeah, got the primary colors on the back, like indicating which song is on which side, and each record has that label.
Yeah, you called that. It's smart. It's smart packaging. Mm-hmm. Even the labels themselves, like you said, are each a different color, each side.
And when I open it up, there's not much. It's mostly artwork in there, but there was some text describing like who's performing on this song and that song.
Yeah.
I saw that there were a couple of, I think, other family members named Herbert performing clarinet and instruments on there. So that's the part of the vinyl experience when you're listening. You get to open, read something along with it, you know, and not have to open your computer and Google it.
That's exactly what I did every time when I was a child.
Yeah.
I would sit in front of the turntable. I used to like watching it spin, too.
Yep.
So like this cover for the next song, Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam, which I'm going to, we'll cover back the track that we just heard, but that Columbia record's so familiar to me. And I love it when it's
around.
Spinning. The Columbia that's written in text around the perimeter,
yeah,
is just like a blur,
like
of
a wheel.
Yellow.
Yeah.
And it's just pretty. I mean, it's just fun to look at it. I like the way it looks. Like even on the knee, on the middle, what do they call that?
The hole?
The spindle thing in the front. I just love all of that. But anyway, so what I used to do is sit there with the record, and as I'm listening, I'd be like, oh, this came out in 1983.
Right.
Oh, this person wrote this
song.
Who's
the producer?
4.5 minutes long. And this stuff, for whatever reason, that's what I did every time,
yeah,
it would stick. Like, I'm looking at your Duran Duran Rio record,
yeah,
and I could probably tell you the time of each track on that record.
Wow.
If not, like, dead on everyone, it will be close, because that's what I would do. 100 times I listened to the record, 100 times I was looking at the art and reading what it was saying. It stuck for
That's
me.
That's serious. And what I noticed, though, on most of the records that you brought today are newer records versus mine.
Well, we're getting to the older ones next.
Okay. Know? Oh, that's so, an oldie. Yeah, but the newer ones, they don't have the liner notes. Like if you, the sleeve was often had the liner notes printed on the sleeve inside, right? The little paper sleeve. But now on new records, it's just a generic paper sleeve. And you don't see like a piece of paper in there with all the credits and all that, right?
Interestingly, I think you'll see. I think I just saw it in.
Yeah, he's pulling out the Herbert.
No, I'm actually going to go to the die.
Oh, okay, so on the die.
Yeah, like there is. They usually do. So here.
Oh, okay, that's a separate insert.
Yeah, so
that's
it's like
different.
With the lyrics and some artwork.
Okay, that's nice.
So, and a lot of the old, you're right, the 80s especially, almost every record had lyrics in it.
It was
and
required,
not,
yeah.
If not, it was at least a picture of the band.
Right.
And maybe like who produced it and where it was recorded, right?
Yeah.
That continued through most of the 80s and 90s or whenever they stopped releasing. And the new records, I feel like they don't do it as much.
Right.
But there are plenty that do an insert with like the lyrics, or a piece of art, like you could put in a frame,
yeah,
which I do like. But I always thought it was best to have the lyrics.
That
was something you always could look at when
right.
you were listening.
Because there was no other way to get them unless you could make them out, right?
Yeah, there was no like genius lyric app. There was no apps, folks.
Right. And so then you just, most of the time, if you didn't have the lyrics, you just got it wrong.
Absolutely. You guessed, you made your words up and you hoped that's what it was.
Right.
And then years later, you found out when you bought the CD, oh, I had that all wrong. It wasn't even close. So what did you think of Herbert? Fantasy?
I love the tribal sound. It was a beat. Very tribal beat and kind of clean, simple sounds. But you mentioned once previously on the show when you chose Herbert that he has a whole album like with sounds from his body, right?
Yeah.
And then
Bodily
another
Functions,
album.
It's called, yeah.
Right. And then another album, Sounds Around the House.
Around the House, exactly.
And so we
Good
were
memory,
we were talking about this just now, and it did sound like the little snare sounded like maybe he's hitting on a tin box or something. Right?
Yeah, we were trying to, like, I'm like, what is this sound that I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Because it really is a creative way of reproducing the rhythmic tones of dance music.
Just using whatever you got. And that's what's cool. And of course, in this song, I heard a lot of kind of modern, unique sounding synthesized sounds like that sounded very electronic, but not heavy handed. And so still in that kind of light, airy, soft delivery. And so it's not it's a dance song, like a dance beat. But it's not heavy.
It's not a thumper.
No.
It's not like one of those songs like...
right. It's
more like... Duh, duh, duh,
It's subtle. It's a subtle dance
song. But when you play it loud, you feel the bass. So that's all you need to really dance is that four on the floor beat. Right?
Yeah.
But it's not meant, I don't feel like, I feel like that's good in like a dance party, but not one that's like in a club. It's right. more meant for like a basement.
For me, this is more like a Sunday morning dance, like, right. you know, around the kitchen. Like,
is that what you do? Is that what you guys do?
Oh, yeah, we dance all the kitchen? Time. Yes. That's why we designed it so you can run in a circle around the island.
Now I know because I've seen the kitchen, so I'm fully aware of what goes on.
You'll be
able
to do laps.
Now in a picture. That's a strange, very strange visual. but anyway, I love Herbert. If you're into electronic music, he's one of the most innovative producers, I'd say, and one of the most like interesting, unique approaches to electronic music. But also really chooses very fine vocalists, I think, that are just not overly saturated out there with different songs. Like, these are artists that, like, you could almost appreciate how unique they are. Yeah. Collaborations.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's good. And I would not have guessed that it was Herbert based on the name and the vocals, because it's a female vocalist.
Correct.
So, unless Herbert was a, you know, falsetto voice, but...
Yeah, but it's definitely, they're each on this album, as you saw, each one has like a different vocalist. Yeah. There's a couple that repeat themselves on it, but yeah, mm-hmm. great album.
Good choice.
I loved Hoover Phonic. We already spoke about that, Twicky. That was a nice little set, sort of like a trip hop, sort of slower vibe song into like a more up-tempo song, but both of them kind of loungy, mm-hmm. which is also awesome. So we're going to switch gears now and go back. We're going to do like an 80s, 90s kind of set here.
Block.
So two songs. Willis is going to be late 80s. I remembered buying this. I think it was called Spanish Fly, the name of the record, now that I think about it.
That sounds right.
And I remember only loving this song on this album. My sister loved all of it, and she liked Head to Toe.
Yeah.
I liked Lost in Emotion.
Yeah.
So this is a great record, great song from the 80s. Then we'll go into the 90s. But talk about why you chose Lisa Lisa Cult Jam.
So we played Lisa Lisa before, and specifically on our one-year anniversary show.
That's right.
It was Lisa Lisa, a song that I heard on Hi-Fi Dream that kind of drove me to contact you and say, what's going on? Why are you playing this song? Or who's behind all this? Because you don't hear freestyle very often on the radio these days. And now, let alone on some mysterious HD4 channel coming in the car by accident.
Through a gateway.
Right. So... Lisa Lisa has a meaning for, I think, both of us. And I bought this 12-inch single for Lost in Emotion from Half Price Books for 25 cents.
That's crazy. And it's got a masking tape that writes the name of the artist.
Because it's probably was owned by a DJ, right? Yeah. DJs would do this. And a lot of times they put the BPMs on here, right?
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I got to get this. And I liked Head to Toe. Also at the time, but Lost in Emotion had a special sound to it, I always thought. And this 12-inch single, the B-side to Lost in Emotion, is called Motion Lost. And it's a little bit of a twist, actually, on the song. And I thought this would be perfect for you, Greg, because there's a doo-wop section in it that is just, that's
so
you.
Awesome.
You do doo-wop drive with your dad. And I've caught that show. It's a great show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for listening to it.
And it just shows how much breadth and depth you have in musical knowledge, that you can do this show with me. You can do a doo-wop show. You could probably do any type of genre you wanted to.
It really does depend, because I probably couldn't do a country show unless it was like an educating kind of thing where I'm learning.
Or the country songs that you don't like. You could probably play a song of that.
Yeah, or country songs I do like, you mean, maybe.
Either one.
I could probably do a show of country music I like. But anyway, you're right. I have a very broad range of sounds I like. I like the best of the best from every genre, but like, you know, certain ones really speak to me.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting about Lisa Lisa is that she was freestyle early on, but it was also like a mix between freestyle and R&B.
Yeah.
Similar to like Jody Wiley. And I think that's because of the time when freestyle first started hitting. And I mean freestyle, not like we typically knew it in the late 80s, early 90s, but like when it started to happen in R&B music, it was almost like it crossed over into like its own genre. Mm. But if you remember, what was the other one we were talking about was early, like Pebbles. Remember Pebbles? Yeah. Mercedes Boy?
Yes.
Or like, there were a few of like this mm-hmm. that were like crossover R&B songs.
Right.
And then their first album, Lisa Lisa, had more of a freestyle vibe to it.
Yeah.
But street, like breakdancing freestyle.
Yeah, yeah.
This album kind of went more towards R&B. including definitely. This song.
This is more jazzy.
And then this remix is like house jazzy. It's
right.
like very early house
right.
jazzy, mm-hmm. R&B.
And doo-wop.
And doo-wop.
It's got yeah, it
this
all.
This was a surprising mix. That's what the main thing I was going to say is I had no idea that this was going to sound the way it did.
Yeah, same. I was surprised. I was pleasantly surprised. And I don't think I ever listened to this B-side until this week.
Me too.
I was just flipping through. I'm like, okay, vinyl show, what are we going to pick here? And oh, there's Lisa.
And I don't have this 12-inch. Yeah. I only have the actual album. So yeah. I never heard this mix.
Exactly.
Ever.
It's not easy to find. I think it's quite rare, actually.
So we're going to play this particular Lisa Cult Jam song. On the first record where we were talking about Wonder If I Take You Home, the song that brought us together, it's, you know, it's not very often you hear two men say like Lisa Cult Jam brought us together, but that featured Full Force,
right?
Which I think had that more street sound. Full Force
yes.
was definitely more hip hoppy
yes.
in a way. This, go ahead.
This is produced by Full Force. So
right.
that's how,
but Cult Jam.
Yes.
Is more of like, I feel like they gave it more of an R&B feel.
They're more of the later group.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. anyway, so we're going to play Lost in Emotion. Actually, it's called Emotions Lost.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name? Is that the mix? It's called
Emotion
the,
Lost, the Can't Find Myself mix.
So that's this version now. And then it's going to follow with like it's an R&B song that has kind of a trip hop, jazzy trip hop sound to it by Sounds of Blackness. I have this on 12-inch because I could never in my life find any other version of it on vinyl. The whole album itself doesn't exist. So when I found this double album 12-inch,
double
which has
album
like 12 mixes on it.
I've never seen that.
It's going to blow your mind.
Wow.
Even though this is the original version I'm going to play, but there's so many versions of this song. There's like each side has 2-3 versions. So I found it used.
Yeah,
only about
BPMs
2 or 3 years
there.
Ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's play this Lisa song Into Sounds of Blackness. You're listening to The Deep Dive on Hi-Fi Dream.
I can feel the beating now. Hit the beating now. Lost in my feelings, lost. I hit the ceiling, lost in emotions, lost.
Now downloading the deep dive.
The blackness. Keep on.
by Dream. It's the Deep Dive. That was Sounds of Blackness. I do play that, by the way, on Hi-Fi Dream.
Oh, really?
I do. It will play a lot. You know, those 90s songs like that, or even some of their older retro stuff from the 80s, they don't play that much. You might hear once a week if you happen to be tuning in. But that's a nugget. That's a nugget that I feel like should have been more popular from the 90s, from 91 that came out. I just think it's such a great song, and it's a shame to me that there's so many songs like this that over the years have just kind of disappeared, you know? There's just not that much of, where are you going to find it if you don't look for yourself?
That's true. So I had never heard this band before, even from the 90s, and the song Optimistic, it truly is an optimistic song, actually. And you mentioned...
It's like gospel, right?
It is like gospel. And I could totally picture, like, putting your hands up in the air at the end of church, you know? And with this beat, though, it's a sick beat. It's like, it's a dancey, kind of like PM Dawn, how they did that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think that's good.
But it brings you up on this level of flight, like a little bit of flying.
Now that I think about it, the closest counterpart I could think of is like Soul to Soul.
Yeah.
Like Keep on Moving or Back to Life.
Right.
Right. But I think PM Dawn's came right in that same wave
right.
of like trip hop soul.
Yep.
The other thing is there was another song by them that was slightly more popular called The Pressure.
Hmm.
And The Pressure was a more up-tempo song.
Okay.
And then they did you might remember this, but they did a remix, a house remix that became like the version they would play in clubs in like 1991. It was the same album.
Okay.
And that was like, it had a very familiar refrain that they kept sampling through the song. And I think if you heard it, you might be like, I remember this.
Oh, I see.
It doesn't necessarily sound like Optimistic because it's more up-tempo, but it's really gospel house in that regard. At least for the dance version.
That's a cool genre, gospel house.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that was Sounds of Blackness. Before that was Lisa Leeson, Culp Jam, Motion Lost, which was the B-side on the 12-inch of Lost in Emotion.
Love that doo-wop.
Yeah, the breakdown in the middle, and it's a song that they sing is called Two Lovers by Mary Wells. Most famous for the song My Guy. You remember that song?
Yes.
I think that was in like a movie, the one with Whoopi Goldberg and his nun. She's a nun or something, like Sister Act. My Guy was like the song they sing at the end of the movie. I might be outside of your...
Yeah, no.
Okay. But anyway.
But I didn't realize that was from that.
Yeah, that's the two lovers and I ain't...
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a great lyric to that song too. That's a great little story in that song because you think she's saying she's got two different lovers, but it's the same person that treats her different ways. I don't know why I'm bringing that up because people were probably like, that's irrelevant to this show. And it is. So those are two kind of R&B, like 80s R&B dance and then into like 90s R&B trip hop dance. So a cool little sub... What would you call that? Like subcult? No.
Diversion?
Yeah, diversion from what we've been doing.
Oh, a little microcosm.
So the end of this show, we're going full on 80s. We're going retro as we go. So this is going to be started in the 80s with ABC, your pick. Come back around to one of my Desert Island discs, dude. This is Duran Duran Rio is one of, if not the best of all this like modern romantic sound. Of the 80s. They really defined the new romantic sound. The look, the sound. But I think it's such a travesty that so many people wrote them off as like a boy band because they were so good looking and they were posters.
The fashion, you know?
Yeah, they were on the poster. They looked good. But they were amazing as a band. I can't even... John Taylor, the bassist, played a fretless bass and he's as good of a bass player as anybody. And the drummer... Roger is like one of the great, he almost is like
brother.
A drum machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you had like Andy Taylor, who's the guitarist, who the other wasn't a brother, but had the same last name. They were all great in their own right. And Simon Le Bon is a good singer.
Very good vocalist. Yep.
My favorite song off this album, but it is a Desert Island disc for me. So the two songs back to back are Save a Prayer and then on the album, The Chauffeur, which is kind of dark.
Well, you picked that on a previous show.
Oh, I did. Okay.
Yes.
I was going to say,
good.
I'm surprised I haven't.
I hadn't heard it before, actually, even though I have this album.
It's a this is also a Nagel. Remember Nagel, the old
Patrick
artist?
Nagel artist on the front.
That's the front cover. That's just the look.
It's an iconic. That's why I picked it, actually. I think this is, I mean, it's a great album, but the cover is so iconic. Everybody knows this cover.
Sure.
It's a Patrick Nagel painting, who was so big in the 80s.
It defines the art art look of the 80s.
Really? And I think this cover outlives many of the other works of Patrick Nagel because it's so everywhere.
Right.
And it's attached to this song, this music. And so that's what's cool, because I really was into Nagel at that time. Actually, not at that time, but maybe in my college years, everybody had a Nagel poster because they were selling them at the posters. Remember those poster stores?
Yeah, too.
So many posters you could choose from, but there was always a section of Nagels. And in college, of course, all the guys had a poster. And so I had to get one. But you couldn't find this one reel on a poster, for sure. But now, looking back 30, 40 years later, this is the 80s to me, looking at this album.
Everything about it.
Yeah.
I own a Nagel print that looks very similar, same colors.
Okay.
And pretty much, it looks like it's the same girl. It's just like a slightly variation of that,
yeah.
I should say. And it's in a huge frame. It's from one of those, probably it's from one of those poster stores. But it was like a massive frame, and I kept it for years, and I was trying to sell it on eBay years ago.
Yeah.
And I never did, so I still have it.
Mm.
But I was looking around your room and I see some really cool art that you have on the wall.
Yeah.
I appreciate art, and I would have brought it up earlier, but I was kind of like all engrossed in what we were doing with the music and trying to figure out the system. But I've noticed you have some really great looking art pieces in here.
Yeah, you know, actually, so my brother-in-law, he collects art and modern art, and it's actually in his family. His grandmother knew Andy Warhol.
No kidding.
Yeah, and there's a painting of hers that he did and recently sold on auction at Christie's or something for a lot. But anyways, the artwork is in my family. And so that's actually one of his. He has so much art. He said, well, can we put some on your wall? Because otherwise it sits in storage.
It's storage for him.
Yeah, there's only so many walls you can put it on. So I don't know the name of that one.
I do love that one, though.
But what we're sitting in here is what we call the rumpus room. And so it serves the purpose of, we've got a craft table here. We've got books here. We've got records and vinyl to listen to. We do. This is our office for both of us. And it's also our biggest room in the house, actually, with the most open space. So if we need a rumpus around, this is a room to do it.
Well, it's perfect. I love the room. I feel cozy in here. This is our last break before we play the last set.
That's
so,
right.
First of all, thanks for having me. I think we're going to do this again. We're in between studios right now. So we're moving into a new studio space and setting it up. So we were going to do this remotely. And then you came up with this idea of the vinyl show in your house. So I thank you for inviting me.
I'm glad we could pull this off. This is fun.
It is so much fun. Like, I've been holding the records and putting them on. As we're talking, I'm actually putting on the Burnt Bananarama record to get it ready for after Duran Duran.
That's right.
So it's like, really, this is what I do at home, except I normally don't have somebody to talk to when I'm doing it. So this is kind of like an expanded experience for me.
Yeah.
But it's been so much fun. And before we talk about the last set, I'm just going to let you know that we'll do this. If you enjoyed this little vinyl experience, we're going to do it next week. We're going to probably do it next week.
Yeah,
at least.
Show 49.
So you'll get one more of these, and maybe we'll do them occasionally just to kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Because it is different. I'm going to tell you right now, my selection experience, because you have them set up similarly.
Yeah.
But like my walls are covered in vinyl, like wall to wall. Three of the four walls are covered in cases of vinyl, right? So like I can't do what I normally do and just kind of allow something to pop in my head and go find the song. Like, I have to make sure, first of all, that I have it on record. Second of all, like, it's a little more overwhelming to kind of look at my records and go choose.
Which would you pick? Yeah.
So I sort of went in targeting some things I would like to choose. You know what I mean? So it's a different experience in what you're going to hear as a listener versus what we do normal weeks, especially with new music, because I need to have the new things on vinyl. And not always, the stuff I'm playing on hi-fi sometimes hasn't even come out yet
record,
much less being released on vinyl.
Right.
So there's a little...
But we're lucky that you actually go and buy the vinyl. So that's the thing, is nowadays you can be an appreciation of a band and never touch any music, right? You're just streaming it. So the fact that you go out and get it, that's what's the treat for, I think, all of our listeners. They get to hear the vinyl version of a song that... most people probably wouldn't go get.
I know, and that is
and
good
they don't
point.
Make it. It's not easy to get that vinyl. I mean, it's easier than it was 10 years ago.
Sure,
but it's still, you got to work for it.
Most people are surprised to find out that Amazon does carry a lot of vinyl, especially like the bigger artists. You know, like you would get Beach House and Dive. You could get on there, and they're pretty cheap. You know, for Prime delivery. I tend to like going to the record. You live right near them. I go to these record stores all around San Jose and even in Fremont.
Yeah.
I like to do that to support the record shops more frequently than not. And then what I also like to do is support the artist. Like, this is my way of
right.
giving back to the artist. If I like you and I'm really into the band, I'm going to pay for something
right.
that you get that money. So
that's
sort of my, I feel like I'm trying to do the right thing by them because they're artists, you know,
that is the right thing.
They deserve to be rewarded for their hard work and giving me something that I take with me the rest of my life. So
right.
our last set, brother, it's going to start with Duran Duran, and we both love them. So talk about
Save a Prayer. I mean, it was a big hit. What I still like about it, still listen to it today, there, you know, I can tire of some of their big hits like Hungry Like the Wolf or even Rio. I loved Rio when it came out.
Yeah, yeah. And great video.
The video, they're kind of on this boat and sailing, and as a catamaran, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool, the coolest boat at the time, right?
Blowing in his yeah. hair, you know.
And they got the perfect clothes, everything. But even still, I think Save a Prayer still holds up. Like, I still don't mind listening to it. And it's not overplayed in my head. And the sounds, the synth sounds in the beginning sound great. And even on the record, sounds good.
Every song, I don't think there's a bad song on this album, personally. The ones I listen to least is Hungry Like the Wolf and Rio because they were so played,
yeah.
right? Save a Prayer was the third single, and it's the best song on the album. And The Chauffeur is like kind of the deep cut that's like important on there. But the song Hold Back the Rain is so good. My favorite as a kid was Last Chance on the Stairway.
Oh, okay.
Which wasn't even close to being a single, but yeah, every song in here is good. So when I say Desert Island Discs, that was a thing we used to do. Maybe our generation
yeah.
would do it, where we'd say, like, what are your Desert Island albums?
You get 10, right?
Yeah, you get 10 picks. What would you bring with you? Or you would say, like, if you could only listen to one record for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Mm.
So when I used to do my list, and over the years it obviously evolved, now that there's so much time behind my life,
right? There's
so I could go back and find so many things. But I would, if I'm picking, I would go eras, right? I'd take, like, two from the 60s,
okay.
two from the 70s, two from the 80s, two from the... That's probably how I would do 10
so you
now.
Still keep room for Rio.
It would probably be on there because I think it's diverse. It's up-tempo. It's not, like, depressing.
Right.
But the ballad side, like Save a Prayer, really deep, mm-hmm. kind of beautiful and sparkly. It's got some aggression. It's got some dance. It's got, like, it's not...
Balance.
This isn't just some pop boy band. This
right.
is, like, NSYNC, who was a boy band years later, or Backstreet Boys, could never write an album like this.
True.
So it was almost, like, unjust how back in those days, a lot of the more, I guess you would say, cool kids would be like, oh, Duran Duran. Like,
right.
metal guys would be like, that's a joke. They're a boy band.
Right.
They weren't. They were excellent musicians that wrote great songs. It just so happened to be that they were like poster boys. They were pin-up looks.
Hmm.
That's not their fault. They were great. And this album stands up to this day.
That's a good point.
So Save a Prayer. Everybody, I think most people will know this song,
yeah,
actually.
I think so.
No matter your age, I think you'll know it. Just like you'd know Hungry Like the Wolf, you're going to know that song. The next song after, it's my final pick, is Bananarama. I'm unashamed when I say I'm a Bananarama fan.
Okay.
I like the unison. They do three-part unison singing.
Mm-hmm.
All three voices singing the same notes, no harmony, just
right.
straight unison, which is not easy to do. So they sound like one voice. So it gives it this cool effect because they all have a slightly different sound, but they're singing the same notes at the same time. That's not easy. This particular song, I heard a rumor. It's kind of melancholy.
Yeah. You're
talking about, you know, like I heard a rumor. They say you have a broken heart. And the lyrics, the verses of the song are kind of like heart tugging, but it's a dancey, poppy, sunshine melody.
It is a sunshine melody for
so
sure.
So Save a Prayer is kind of a ballad. This is kind of like dancey.
Pick it back up.
Yeah.
And you would say, why did you pick the Horoscope mix?
Just because
it's
this is
more,
sort of just like the extended version of it. It's
okay.
not that much different. So there's on this particular album, there's the Horoscope mix and there's a dub, which doesn't have the whole vocal part in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a 7-inch version. And then there's a house mix. I think it loses something from the original version, the house mix. It's cool. Sounds good in the club. But I like the original melody so much and the background of the song.
Yeah.
So this to me is like the extended 7-inch version, the extended single. So it sounds like what you heard on the radio.
Okay.
Just maybe a little more up in the beat. The beat's up in the mix a little bit. Maybe a little longer.
I like the album cover. It looks way more sophisticated than the I think their albums that look more very 80s with the style and the bright colors. This is a more subdued color scheme, and it just looked to me, this is a more sophisticated looking record.
I agree, and I like the bold big letters on the front too. Yeah, so this Bananarama, love. Are you a fan of them?
A little bit, like Robert De Niro's Waiting.
Okay. That's a good song.
And let me get my album real quick.
Because like Cruel Summer was well known, obviously.
Yeah, Cruel Summer.
Venus still sounds great to this day, very Giorgio Moroder-ish in its beat. Love in the First Degree was good. I would say this song, I heard a rumor, this was, I think it might have been number one. It definitely was number one in England. I think it was number one here too. As much as Cruel Summer is like their jam, a lot of their deep album cuts are actually better than their singles, in my view. Some of my favorite songs by them were never released as singles. But as far as their singles are concerned, their greatest hits are concerned, I heard a rumor has always given me like kind of a pit in my stomach, in a good way. You know, if there's such a thing as a pit in your stomach in a good way. Wow. But it comes from the album Wow.
Have
the Greatest Hits collection.
I have Greatest Hits, yeah.
So if you look at the Greatest Hits, I say this is the best song on the Greatest Hits album.
Okay,
so, and that is on there, because obviously it was a big one. You're pulling it out. I'm looking right now. I never find this on vinyl.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the second one. Yep, after Venus. Yep.
Very lucky you found this Greatest Hits. You will not find that very often.
Is that
unless
right?
You buy a used somewhere, and you're lucky enough to find it somewhere. It's hard to find the Greatest
Look
Hits.
Look how many different price tags that have been exchanged like four times.
Yeah. Oh, wow, yeah.
So I got it for 99 cents.
And it looks, it's still sealed. You haven't even opened this yet?
Really? It's not open?
It's not open.
Wow.
You have a sealed copy of this?
I mean, guess I do.
I kind of quietly put it in my bag. I can't believe you. No wonder it's because I was looking at it. I'm like, wow, you still have in the shrink wrap, but this hasn't even been opened yet.
This is what happens when you go record shopping. You probably know. Like you find stuff. You say, oh, that's got to be good. And then you get five at a time, and you listen to four of them, and the fifth one just, I don't know.
Do you know that's why I keep a crate in front of my turntable that is all the records I haven't listened to yet? So
smart.
I know that when I want to just find something to throw on, I go to that crate. Because that way I know I'll listen to everything I buy. Otherwise, I'll forget.
Huh.
Anyway, thanks so much, everybody, for tuning into the show. We definitely got to get this last set in
before
it's too late.
Yes.
But great work. I'm so thankful you allowed me in your home.
Yeah, this worked out. It's been fun.
And next week, we're going to do it again.
All right.
But first, Duran Duran, Save a Prayer, followed by Bananarama, I Heard a Rumor. This is definitely a retro set to end the show. And we hope you enjoyed the deep dive on Hi-Fi Dream.